We're holding on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, about the middle of the Amud. The line begins, Oymer Ze Esreg. We're in the middle of talking about the criteria for an Esreg to be kosher. So first we mentioned the criteria that apply to the other Dalad Minim as well. It can't be stolen, it can't be dry, etc. Now we have a bunch that applies specifically to the Esreg, because we said the Esreg is a fruit, and it's edible, so therefore it has Dinim that apply to it that don't apply to the other ones. Well, first, we have actually another one that we said that did apply before. Shall Asher of Shal Eirani Dachas Possel, if it came from an Asher tree or from an Eirani Dachas Possel, my timer, and what's the reason? And the reason is because, like we said with the previous ones, Kivin de la Sereif Akoi, since it has to be burnt, Katusi Michtas Shiure, therefore it's considered even now that, its shear has been cut down, because we consider as if it was already burnt. Next. We said Vishal Urla Possel. Another one that's possible is an Esrog of Urla. So my timer. So what's wrong with an Esrog of Urla? So Pligibar of Chiba Oven Brav Asi. So the Chiba Oven and Rav Asi all view what the reason is. Actually, there's a different gears over here that takes out the word bar oven, in which case it would be the Priya plain, and in fact that would be a reason to pass him like him, because he's from a previous generation. He's the Rebbe of Rav, who in turn is the Rebbe of Ravasi. Anyway, Chad Amal Afisha Ein Bar Heter Achila. One says the reason is because you're not allowed to eat an Esrog of Orla. You're not allowed to eat Orla. In fact, anything that grows during the first 3 years, you're not even allowed to eat it after you don't say you can keep it around until the 3 years are up and then you can eat it. No, anything that grew during those 3 years is off limits forever to eat. And therefore, the point is it's not lochem. And the other one says, because you don't own it. It's not shava pruta because it's also bahana. So therefore, again, the problem is not lochem. So both of them are agreeing that the problem is lochem, but they're looking at it in different ways. It's a problem that you can't eat it, or that you can't have hanah from it. Tosfos points out, actually, there's another point as well. I mean, orla actually has to be burnt. So it should be the same thing as the asherah and the irani dachas. Since they have to be burnt, then you can't use them automatically for that reason. Tosfos says, you're right. The Gemara could have mentioned that point. The reason why it has this machlokas is really more as an introduction to the next part, where we're going to talk about an Esther of the Maiser Sheni, where we're going to see, where you don't have to burn Maiser Sheni, of course, but we're going to see which of these reasons apply to it. So the Gemara says, Kasapadaite, now we start with the assumption, Mandaboy Hetrachilo Loy Boy Din Momen, that of the two Amiroyim, the one that says you have to be able to eat it doesn't care whether it has Din Momen. As long as you're allowed to eat it, he doesn't care whether it's considered to be yours, the halacha. And umanda boy din momen le boy hetra achila, and vice versa. The one who says that it has to be momen would say, I don't care whether you're allowed to eat it or not. Now, in other words, when it comes to urla, you have both those things. You can't eat it, and it's osu bahana. But we know that there are things that are mutu bahana, you're just not allowed to eat. And vice versa, you have things which you're allowed to eat, but are not considered yours, the halacha. Namely, as we're going to talk about, the second one is maisa sheni. There's a machloikas about Maisa Sheni, the machloikas Tanoim, whether Maisa Sheni is considered yours or not. The Torah tells you to take it to your Shalayim and eat it over there, or to exchange it for money and then use the money to buy food in your Shalayim and eat it. But is that original fruit, or is that money considered yours or not? Or is it considered that maybe it's Hashem's, and Hashem gives you permission to eat it? So, let's start with the assumption then, between Rav Chiya bar Oven and Rav Asi, that each one has their own reason, and each one says, I don't care about your reason. I don't care whether you can eat it or not, as long as you can have hana. And the other one is going to say, I don't care whether it's yours to have hana from or not, as long as you're allowed to eat it. Well then, Tanan, let's look in our Mishnah. It continues from Truma Tmeya Psula, that an esrog of Truma Tmeya is possible to use. Now, Bishleim Lamanda Om Lapisha in the Heta Achiva Shatir. So, according to the opinion that you can't eat it, then we understand why you can't use Truma Tmeya. Truma Tmeya, you're not allowed to eat. El Lamanda Om Lapisha in Badin Momin. But if you're going to say the problem with an Esrog, that the problem with an Esrog of Orla is that there's no Din Momin in it, Amai, so here, where is Truma Tmeya, what's the problem? Hare Masika Tachas Tapshiloi. You're allowed to use Truma Tmeya. You're not allowed to eat it, but you are allowed to use it. You can use it as firewood, for example. So it's definitely lochem in that sense. So So how would the whichever amora it is that says that the problem is that there's no din mamon in it, then what's the problem with an esrog of truma tmeya? You have din mamon in it, you're just not allowed to eat it. Ela behetra chilek kulam lipti debreina. No, rather we're going to say like this. When it comes to that you should be allowed to eat it, both of them agree it has to be, you have to be able to eat the esrog in order for it to be kosher. So that explains truma tmeya. Even if you can have enough from it, but you can't eat it. The question now is, do you also have to have, besides that you eat it, do you also have to have that it's considered to be yours, that it's considered to be yours? So of the two Amidroim, one of them holds, all we care about is that you should need to be able to eat it. We don't care whether it has din mamon, or marasava, din mamon, nami be'inan, and the other one says that you also need to have, it also needs to be yours. So my benayu, in which case, what's the nafkamina between them? And the answer is, ikubinayu, maisi sheni should be a shalayim, alibid the mayor. The question would be, according to the mayor, what would be the din of maisi sheni in your shalayim? You have machloikas in Kiddushin and in some other places, whether maisi sheni is considered your mamon or whether or not. The classic thing that we use to determine whether something is your mamon or not is, can you be mekadesh a woman with it? If you can be mekadesh with it, then it's yours. If you can't, then you can't. So you have a machloikas in Kiddushin. Can a man be mekadesh a woman with maisi sheni in your shalayim? Reb Meir says no. You have a different opinion over there. Reb Yehuda, I think, says yes. So therefore, according to the mayor, it's not considered your mamon. But of course, you're allowed to eat it. The Torah tells you, take it to your shalayim and eat it. So now, according to the mayor, what is going to be the din of using an esrog of maaser sheni? Lamanda amalafi sheni behetar achila. According to the opinion that the problem with orla is that you can't eat it, no problem. Hare yesh behetar achila. You're allowed to eat it, so you're good. Lamanda amalafi sheni din mamon. And according to the opinion that it doesn't have din mamon, and that's the problem, well, maisa sheni, mamon gavayahu, then maisa sheni is the property, according to the mayor, is the property of Hashem, who grants you permission to eat it, and therefore, according to the mayor, and then therefore, if we follow the mayor's opinion, then according to that amurda, you would not be able to use an esrog of maisa sheni, because it doesn't belong to you. So therefore, our Mishnah, which had said that you could use an esrog of maaser sheni, necessarily would have to be according to the other opinion, according to that way of looking at it, it couldn't be according to the mayor. So according to the two Amidroim, one of them would say it could be according to the mayor as well, because you can eat it, and the other one, and we would say nobody cares about whether the esrog actually belongs to you or not, and the other one would say that, no, our Mishnah would have to go like a different Tana, not like the mayor. Okay. Now, so we said there are two Amirayim, we said there are Rav Chir Bar Oven, or take out Bar Oven, as the case may be, and Rav Asi, who argue on this. We didn't say so far which one says which. Now let's try to figure out which one said what. The Gemara will often do that, you know, it'll present a machloikas and say Chad Omer, Chad Omer, and sometimes the Gemara will just leave it open like that, which one said which. Sometimes the Gemara will try to clarify which one said which. So here is one of those places. The Gemara says, "Tistayim that Rav Asi the Amal Afisha in Badin Mamin." We can conclude that Rav Asi must be the one who said that the problem with an esrog of Ola is that there's no Din Mamin, and therefore that according to him, he would be the one who says that according to the mayor, you can't use an esrog of Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. The Amar Rav Asi esrog from Maaser Sheni the Divrei of Mayor Adam Ein Adam Yetzei Beidei Chavasi B'Yamtiv. Because that's exactly what Rav Asi says. According to the mayor, an esrog of maaser sheni you would not be allowed to use for your choiv on Yom Tov, because it has to be lachem and it's not lachem. And according to the chachamim, you could. Because the chachamim would disagree with the mayor and say that maaser sheni is mom and head. Good. The Gemara says, Tisayim, good. Then that settles that. So Rav Asi is the one who says it has to have din mamon. Rav Chir Bar Oven then, or Rav Chir Plain, would be the one who says it has to be heter achila. So according to him then, our Mishnah could well be appointed a mayor as well. You're allowed to use an esrog of maaser sheni in Yerushalayim because we don't care whether it's mamon gavoya or mamon hedya. You're allowed to eat it, and that's good enough for us. Whereas according to Rav Asi, we would have to say that our Mishnah is not appointed a mayor. Good. Gufa, getting back to what we said, Omer Rav Asi, Esrog from Maaser Sheni, the Divrei of Meir, Ein Adam Yotzei Beidei Chavasa B'Yamtiv, the Divrei Chacham Adam Yotzei Beidei Chavasa B'Yamtiv. Let's go back to, we just quoted, let's analyze a little bit what Rav Asi had said, that according to the Meir, you can't use an Esrog of Maaser Sheni because it's not lachem because it doesn't belong to you. It's mamon gabaya. And according to the chachamim, that is mamon head, yet then you're allowed to. Also, Rav Asi said another din matzah shal ma'aser sheni v'divra meir einanam yotze v'yedecha v'aser v'pesach v'divra chama yotze v'yedecha v'aser v'pesach. The same way, also they would have a similar argument as far as matzah made out of ma'aser sheni wheat. So you brought your ma'aser sheni wheat to Yerushalayim. Now you want to make matzah of it. Can you be yotze with that matzah? Rav Asi says that according to Rav Meir, no, and according to the chachamim, yes. Which the Gemara is going to ask soon. Why? It's one thing with an esrog. We know an esrog has to be, or all the other dalad minim, has to be lachem. Matzah never says anywhere that has to be your matzah. So where do we learn from? So we'll see that soon in the Gemara. And another din, also, isa shal ma'aser sheni. Also, if you have a dough made out of wheat or barley or whatever of ma'aser sheni, l'divra meir p'turim v'nachala, l'divra cham chayev v'chala. And according to the meir, it would be potter from chala. And according to the Chachamim, it would be Chayim and Chala. So the same machlokas that the Meir and the Chachamim have as far as Ma'aser Sheni, whether it's Mamon Hedyot or Mamon Gavaya, which has implications as far as the first place where it has an implication is in the halachas of Kiddushin. Can you Makadish a woman with Ma'aser Sheni? That same machlokas, Rav Asi tells us, also has implications as far as an Esrog, and as far as an esrog, as far as matzah, and as far as challah, as far as the mitzvah of taking challah from dough. So maski for Rav Papa. So Rav Papa asks on that. Why would Rav Asi be saying that they argue on all three of them? Bishlema isa. I can understand why they argue in the case of a dough. Because the pasuk says the beginning of your dough, so it has to be yours, it has to belong to you. Esrog nami ksiv lachem nishalachem. By an esrog also, fine, it says lachem, lakachtan lachem v'yemirishin, and that implies that it has to be yours, which is why we said at the beginning of it, which is why we talked about before, about using borrowed dalad minim, stolen dalad minim, etc. And we're going to talk about it in greater detail later in the parak. So we can understand that. El matzah mixiv matzas chen, but it never says anywhere in the Torah the matzah has to belong to you. So fine, we can argue matzah zulo, maybe you can't be yotze with because mitzvah abav avera, fine. But the matzah doesn't specifically have to belong to you to the extent that it has to be your momen and it can't be momen gavoya. So why should you not be allowed to use matzah? Why, according to the mayor, should you not be allowed to use matzah of ma'aser sheni? The reason is because Rav Asi is going to understand that there is a gzeira shava over here on the word lechem. Ksivacha lechem oini, matzah is described as bread of poverty. Uchtiv hosam by the mitzvah of challah, it says v'hoya ba'achochem milechem ha'aretz. When you eat from the bread of the land, then you have to take challah. So, according to the mayor, we're saying that ma'aser sheni is not considered your mamon. So therefore, ma'al ha'alam mishalachem. So just like chala was saying the loy mishal ma'aser. So therefore, just like by chala, the mayor is going to say it's potter if it's made from ma'aser, because ma'aser is not considered yours. Afkan mishalachem. The same way the mayor would say over here that also matzah it's true. It doesn't say lachem by you, but you have the gzeira shavah. So therefore not from Meiser. Tosfos actually discusses that in a certain sense it might be considered that Meiser Sheni might be considered to be like something that you own in partnership together with Hashem, like so to speak. Tosfos, not as far as Meiser, rather. Tosfos says, as far as Tevel, given that we said before that we don't care, in the end we're saying all of this is appointed of us. Meanwhile, appointed of Chia, Meanwhile, according to the Pchiba Oven, he said we don't care about whether it has din moment as long as you're allowed to eat it. So fine. So Tevel, you're not allowed to eat it. But there's also the point that Tosfos points out that an esrog of Tevel, it's considered in effect as though you have a partnership together with the Kohen. The Kohen and Levi own part of it because they're going to be getting Turma and Meiser out of it. So now that esrog is owned in partnership, and we know that an esrog that's owned in partnership, you can't use for the mitzvah, because again, you need lochem. So, uh, so, so, So even as far as, so aside from the point, that you're not allowed to eat tevel, there is also the fact that tevel would be considered something that you own in partnership together with Kohen and the Levi, and for that reason alone, you wouldn't be able to use an esrog of tevel. Anyway, the point is that Rav Asi is saying that according to Rav Meir, again, you have three dinim that apply. There's three dinim four dinim really that results from the fact that Maisa Sheni is mamon gavaya. You can't be the kaddish a woman with it according to Rav Meir. You can't use an esrog of it in your shalayim where you're allowed to eat it. You dough made from it is potter from challah, and you can't use it for matzah. So the Gemara says, "Lema Messiah Lay." Okay, can we say that we can prove that we can support what Rav Asi is saying, his understanding of Rav Meir's opinion? Can we show that? Can we say that the following Braisa supports him? The Braisa says, "Issa shom Maisa Sheni turim and achala divrei Rav Meir." Rav Meir says that a dough of Maisa Sheni is potter from challah. V'cham chayev es v'challah. And the Chum says it's chayim in challah. So would that support Rav Asi's point that Rav Meir says it's potter? What do you mean, blame a Messiah? Like he. What do you mean? Is it a support? A support would be when you have a braisa that talks about some related point, and we can show from it that Rav Meir holds such and such. Here the braisa is saying flat out that Rav Meir holds it's potter. So not a siyata. That braisa is stating exactly what Rav Asi is saying. What we should say is, Tanya Kavasei that I've asked such and such. So the question is rather Ella midibaha plea bahonami plea. Would we necessarily say that since we see clearly in the Braisa that they are arguing about Chala, then necessarily that shows that they're arguing as far as the other two things as well, as far as Matzah and as far as Esrog? And then that would support Rav Asi. So in other words, that would be a support because Rav Asi said that they're arguing on all three. Here we have a Braisa that says they're arguing only over one. So does this braisa then, can we infer from this braisa that in fact they do argue over the other two as not, that they argue over the other two as well? Or maybe because it's by a dough, it's different, because the pasuk doesn't just say, Reishis Arisaseichem, the beginning of your dough, it actually says the word Arisaseichem twice. So therefore, maybe only there, because it says it twice, So the mayor would say that one of them were learning something else from, and the second one we'd be learning that it has to be mamon, that it has to be your mamon, or maybe not. In fact, Tosfos points out there is in a different Gemara where it talks about, but there's other. In fact, there are two things. There are things that we learn from both Arisei Seichems. We learn that that the mitzvah of challah doesn't apply to a dough that's owned by a goy. We learn it doesn't apply to a dough from hektish, and so on and so forth. And we also need the word Arisei Seichem teaches us a shir challah, that is the amount of dough that you used to make in the midbar, namely an oimer, which is the size of 43.2 eggs. So okay, you're right. Tosfos says that here the Gemara is not really getting into that level of detail. But in any case, maybe we could argue that not necessarily can we support what Rav Asi is saying from that braisa, because fine, maybe they're arguing by challah, because it says Arisa Seichem twice, and Rav Meir is learning the drushes differently, let's say, but not necessarily would that apply to the other. Not necessarily would that apply to the other to the other jinnim as well, by matzah and by esrog, where it doesn't say the lochem twice, and by matzah it doesn't say it at all. We only learn it from Zeh Shava. So maybe the mayor would disagree on those, maybe not. Okay. The halacha is like Rav Chiya before, like Rav Chiya Ba'oven, that we don't care whether the esrog is your mamon as long as you're allowed to eat it. So you could use an esrog of Maisa Sheni in your shalayim, although we said in the Mishnah not lachatchila, which we'll see in a second one. So, continues the Gemara, shal truma tmeya psula. We said the Mishnah had said that if the esrog is truma tmeya, then it's fossil, and the reason is the less behetar achila, because you can't eat it, and therefore there's no lochem. And we said on Amar Aleph that both Rav Chiya Ba'oven and Rav Asi both agree. Lamaskana, we started with the assumption that one of them says you only need to have din mamon, and we don't care whether you're allowed to eat it. And in that case, truma tmeya has din mamon because you're allowed to burn it as firewood. But now we said Lamaskana, that's not like that. They all agree that you have to be able to eat the esrog, and therefore you can't over here because it's truma tmeya. Therefore, it's possible. Okay. Now we said Mishal Truma Tahora Lo Yitol. Now you shouldn't take an esrog of Truma Tahora Lachatchila. You should not take. So why not? Pligi, but Rav Ami, Rav Asi. So Rav Ami and Rav Asi argue what's wrong with an esrog of Truma Tahoda. You're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to have enough from it. So what's the problem? Chad Amar of Nesha Machshira. One says the reason is because you're going to be machshir at Lakabal Truma. How so? We know that to be machshir food Lakabal Truma, it has to get wet with one of the Shiva Mashkim. What happens is like this. You usually keep your lulav in water. You keep your lulav in water, or nowadays you wrap it in paper towels or something, in order to keep it fresh. Now, when you take it out, then you often still have water on it. What happens now when you take the dal of minim? At some point, you have to put the lulav and the esrog. You have to put the lulav and the esrog together. They have to be touching. So then, what may happen is the esrog then becomes wet. Then it becomes mukshul kabel truma, and now you're not allowed to truma. You have to guard from becoming tummy. So according to this mandama, not only you have to prevent it from becoming tummy, but even from a possibility of that it would be susceptible to tumor, which is what you have over here. It's going to be susceptible to tumor because it becomes wet from the lulav. So that would be one reason why not to take an esrog of tumor tahora. The other one says because you ruin it. Because we all know you take an esrog every day. You think back in the day, for example, when people would go and take the Rebbe's lulav and esrog, and after a while the esrog becomes awfully brown and ugly from everybody touching it. So the same thing over here. What happens is if you're taking an esrog of Truma Tahara, what happens is you're ruining it. You're ruining the outside of it. And therefore, again, you're going against what you say. You're going against what we're saying that truma tahora. You're supposed to guard it and prevent it from becoming ruined. So the Gemara says, "My benayu." Okay, what's the practical difference between these two reasons I'll offer? And the answer is, "Kigon shekora l'ashem chutz mikriposach etzach tzayna." What if he designated the esrog as truma, but only the flesh of the esrog, not the outer peel? Now, we're going to talk about later on, the esrog has three layers, essentially. You have the outer, peel, which has the color of the esrog. Nowadays, in English, it's called the zest. Then you have the thick rind inside that, the thick white rind, which makes up most of the body of the esrog. And then within that, you have the pulp of the esrog with the seeds in it. Some esrog have very little pulp in them. Some of them is almost all rind and seeds. Anyway, suppose that you designated that the zest of the esrog is not truma, only the flesh of it. Well then, lamanda amar mitnesh machshira. So according to the opinion that the problem with taking an esrog is that you might get it mukshal kabel truma, ika. So then you still have that because you could still get the esrog wet. Now even if the esrog itself is not, even if the zest of the esrog is not truma, nevertheless it's considered a shomer. The din is that not only food is makabel truma, but also whatever protects the food. So if you're saying that the rind of the esrog, which is what, for example, when you're making candied esrog or esrog jelly or whatever, you use the rind for that, so it is edible. So if that is truma, then that is food, then the outer zest, which is on the outside of that and protects that, is also able to be mukshal kabel truma because it's protecting it. So therefore, when you touch the wet lulav to the esrog, to the zest, to the outer, to the colorful peel of the esrog, then the esrog becomes mukshal kabel truma. So then you have that same problem. Lamanda amam peshmaf sida. But according to the opinion, the problem with using an esrog of truma tahora is that you're going to ruin it, lekka, then there's no problem because you didn't make the zest truma. The zest is still considered chulin, and therefore there's no problem with you ruining it no more so than any other regular esrog. So that would be the nafkamina. Okay, but we said ve'im not oksheda. But if you did take an esrog of truma tahora, the di'evid is kosher. And the reason is lamanda amam neisha she'ein v'heter achila ha'reish v'heter achila. If you say the problem is, as we said on Amud Aleph, that you can't eat the esrog, well, truma tahora kohen is allowed to eat. Lamanda amam l'fisha ein v'din mamon ha'reish yesh v'din mamon. And according to the opinion that it doesn't have din mamon, then it does have din mamon because, for example, a kohen can use it for kiddushin. And a kohen can use it for kiddushin. Even a yisrael, actually, the yisrael is not allowed to eat it. But Rashi points out with both of them, actually, a kohen, for example, could sell or give the truma to a yisrael. Now the yisrael himself can't eat it, but he could give it, for example, that Yisrael may have a grandson. He may have his daughter married a Kohen, and now he has a grandson as a Kohen. So actually, Rashi says a funny expression over here. There's no pidyon to be matirit for Yisrael to eat. Don't think, Rashi says, that the same way as with Maisa Sheni, you're not allowed to eat it outside of your Shalayim. But if you did, but if you paid it, if you redeem it for money, then you're allowed to. You could conceivably think that the same thing is true of Truma. Rashi says, don't think that way. Rashi says, actually, anybody who says that is a Rosh. No, a Yisrael was never allowed to eat Truma, but you could have that a Kohen gives the Truma to a Yisrael, or that a Kohen gives or sells the Truma to a Yisrael, and then the Yisrael himself can't eat it, but he can give it to another Kohen, such as his grandson. So there is heter achila in the sense that Yisrael himself is not allowed to eat it, but he can give it to somebody else who can. It has din moment because he's allowed to have hana from it. He's able to be mekadesh a woman with it or sell it to other kayanim, etc. So therefore the only reason is achila not to take it is because of the reasons that we said, because he might accidentally be makshir at the kabbal truma, or because he might accidentally be makshir at the kabbal truma, or because you're ruining the outside there, because you're ruining the outside, the zest of it, and making it instead of yellow, now it's going to become brownish. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Vishal Dmai, we had an Esra of Dmai, we had a Machlokas, whether you're allowed to use it or not, a Machlokas, Bishamai, Bishivil. So Bishamai said no, Bishivil said yes. Bishamai, we understand, because you're not allowed to eat Dmai, and so you take out Shurma and Mice of it. My time of the Bishivil, why would Bishivil say you're allowed to use an Esra of Dmai? The reason is, given the boy because conceivably the person could be mafkir his possessions, but have an oni, and then he's going to be considered a poor person. But chazilei, and now he's well. Now as a poor person, he's allowed to eat dmai. Therefore hashkenami lachem karinabe. Therefore, even now, even though he has not done that, nevertheless we can still consider the esra of lachem to that extent. And we know that, in fact, we learn in a Mishnah in Dmai, Machilna Sanim Dmai Vesachsanya Dmai, you're allowed to give poor people Dmai to eat, and you're allowed to give Achsanya Dmai to eat. Achsanya has Rashi over here and in other places explains that Achsanya means king, means soldiers of the king that are quartered in people's houses, and people are responsible. And the people are responsible for feeding them. So that would be one definition of achsanya. Tosfos brings over here another possibility from the Yerushalmi over there that even as far as the poor people, we don't necessarily mean that the poor people are allowed to eat it as dmai. It might mean that we're talking about poor people who are chaverim, meaning that they're going to know that this has to be that you are like this. Normally, you're not allowed to use tevel. You're allowed to use tevel. It has din mamon, but you're not allowed to use it in a way that uses it up. Because then you're taking away the truma and the maaser from the kohenim and levim. So dmai should be subject to the same rule. You shouldn't be allowed to give dmai to people to eat because it gets eaten. So one way of understanding it in the Yerushalmi is we're talking about that you give it to a poor person who is a chaver who knows about the dinim that you have to give truma and maaser, that you have to give maaser, and he's going to make sure to take maaser from it before he eats it. As far as achsanya, also the Yerushalmi mentions over there that achsanya might mean goyisha guests, which are goyisha soldiers or whatever, which again you'd be allowed to give. So anyway, so this Hillel holds you. So this Shammai says you're not allowed. So the Mishnah says that you're allowed to do that, and of course the Mishnah is like this Hillel. So Shammai only loyal to Mai was according to this Shammai. A poor person is not allowed to eat Mai, and we know that's a Tanan because we learn in the Mishnah. That according to Bishama, you're not allowed to. So according to Bishama, you can't eat it, and nobody can eat it. Therefore, it doesn't have heter achila. And we established before that the esrog has to have heter achila, whereas according to Bishama, it would be fine. But Amar Rapuna, and Rapuna says you should know there's a brisa on that subject that actually discusses that point. You learn in a brisa. B'shamah says you can't. B'shamah says you can't. Now, why is it important for us to know the details of what B'shamah says? If halacha is not like them, Tosfos explains the idea is if you ever find a stam mishnah or a stam not stam mishnah, if you find a stam brisa that says that aniyim and achsanayim are not allowed to eat dmai, and you're going to say, 1 second, I thought they are allowed to. So Rav Huna wants you to know that is specifically according to Bishamai, and you should know that that's not accepted by halacha.
Okay.
Next. We said Shamaisa Shani should be Yerushalayim. We said you're not allowed Lachatchila to use an Esther of the Maisa Shani in Yerushalayim. And again, the same reason as before, Laman Da'omer B'nei Shemachshira, because Maisa Shani also you have to try to prevent from becoming Tomei. So if you say the problem is that you're Machshir it Lekabal Tuma, then you have the same problem. You're Machshir Maisa Shani Lekabal Tuma, therefore you have a problem. Laman Da'omer B'nei Shemachshira. And according to the opinion that because you're ruining the Maisa Sheni, well, you're back to the same problem. You're ruining it. You're touching it, and therefore the outside of it is going to become brown instead of its normal color, and therefore it's not going to be edible. So therefore, lachatchila, you shouldn't use it. But again, the not ok sheira. But if you used it, then b'diavad, it's kosher. Again, because l'manda amalim pnei sheheim b'heter achila. If we say the problem with orla and truma tmeya is that you're not allowed to eat it, then harayesh b'heter achila. Then we would say, according to the problem of Heter Achila, then we would say that part of the Mishnah is according to everybody, because both the Meir and the Chacham agree, of course, that you're allowed to eat Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim. So therefore, according to both of them, then you would have, according to both of them, then it would be kosher. Lamanda Omar, for the Fisha Inba Din Mamen, according to the opinion, which we established before, was Rav Asi's opinion, that the problem with an estrog of Truma, an estrog of Orla, was that it doesn't have Din Mamen, then we would have to say, Homani Rabbanan, he necessarily then on Mishnah would have to be according to the Chachamim against Rav Meir, because Rav Meir, we said, would say that Maisa Sheni is Mamen Gavoya, and according to him, you couldn't use it. Next, we said in the Mishnah, also chazozis, so till now we were talking about problems with the esrog that are based on halacha, based on the status of it in halacha, that it's tevel, that it's truma, that it's from an asherah, etc. Now we're going to talk about physical blemishes that disqualify the esrog. So we said also chazozis, we said that if a chazozis grew over most of the esrog, so chazozis, we said, was sort of like boils or blisters that grow on the esrog, if it covers the majority of it, then it's possible. So the Gemara says, Omer of Chista, Dover Zer Rabbeinu Agadol Omroi, the following statement, all great Rebbe said, namely Rav, Hamokam Yir Be'ezra, Hashem should help him. We had this expression the other day as well, that Rav Chista used that expression. It could mean that Rav wasn't feeling well, and therefore Rav Chista was giving him a bracha, or it could be Stam that he's giving him a bracha, like we say Shlita or Sheikhya. Anyway, Loi Shonu Elo B'Mokam Echad. This that was saying, now the Mishnah had said that the chazazis is possible if it covers the majority of the esrog. That would only be if it's in one place. So you have one big chazazis that covers the majority of the esrog. Av b'shnayim or shloshim or kaimis kosher. But if the chazazis is in two or three different places on the esrog, then Rav had said that it would be kosher. So the Gemara says, Omalei Rava. So Rava says to Rav Chista, how could that be? Adrava, b'shnayim or shloshim or kaimis. Av alekim enumer or apostle. Just the opposite. If you have the chazazis in multiple places, then it's even worse. Then the esrog looks spotted. And then it should be, then there's more reason to say it's possible. So you're right, the Gemara says, Ela e itmar, a sefer itmar. Rather, if this statement of Rav was said, it was said on a sefer, not on the resha, that if it's in one place, that if it's in one place, it's possible. If it's two or three places, it's kosher, but rather the other way around. The Mishnah had continued and said, al mi'ute kosher, that if the chazazis covers not the majority, only the minority, only less than half of the esrog, that's kosher. So on that, omer of chista, gavazer, rabbeinu agadol omer, v'amokim, yeh be'ezrog, moishonim alav mokim echad. This that was saying it's kosher would only be if the chazazis, which covers less than half of the esrog, is all in one place, avav shnayim or shloshim akomis, but if in two or three places, have a lekim enumer or apostle, then it would be spotted, and then it would be possible even if it covers less than the majority. Omar Rava, and Rava says, here's a further detail in it, if the chazazis is on the choytim of the esrog, we'll explain in a second what the choytim is, after the Ramasha who nami posel, then even a small one would be posel because the choytim is the most noticeable part of the esrog. What is the choytim? Rashi explained like this. You look at an esrog, you have the main part of the esrog, which is about the same width all around, then you have a point where it starts sloping toward the top. So that part, Rashi says, is called the choytim. That part, therefore, is the most noticeable part of the esrog. And this is how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim bring, the Rosh brings, for example, that the Chotim is not just that particular band around the Esrog, where it starts narrowing, but rather the whole thing from that band upward all the way to the top of the Esrog. And that's what we do when we're looking at Esrogim. We usually focus on that top part, the part where it begins sloping from the middle of the Esrog until the top. That's the Chotem, and that's where particularly we look for defects and things that might passel the Esrog, or at least make it less harder. There is a third opinion among Rishonim that Chotem actually only refers to the area around the Pitim. Pitim itself, Tosfos explains over here, Rashi and Tosfos explain over here in some detail in connection with the next piece of the Gemara, that you have as follows. You have a little bump on the top of the Esrog. Out of that grows the wood, out of that grows a woody piece, which is called the Buchna, which is like the body of the Pitim. And then on the top of the Pitim, you have a little flower-like thing called the Sheshanta. You think about it, really, what it is an esrog grows, an esrog, like any fruit, grows from a flower. So the flower has, when the flower is growing, it has in the middle of it a little stem-like thing in the middle with things on top of it. That's where the pollen is or whatever. So essentially, the pitim of the esrog is what's left of the flower that the esrog grew from. And then on the other end of it, you have the oikets, which is the stem that it hangs from on the tree, and you have over there the remains of the leaves that surrounded the flower. So there is an opinion that the chotem only refers to that little bump on top, right underneath the pitim. And either way, the idea is, according to all three opinions, the point is that the pitim, however you define it, is the most noticeable part of the esrog, and therefore chazazus over there is going to passel the esrog more than it would in other places. There is also, now if you were talking about chazazus, which is again a kind of, like Rashi had defined it, a kind of boil that sometimes afflict the esrog. Now we do have to distinguish that from, you have many times on a sur, you know, chazazus per se is not very common on a surrogate nowadays, but what we do often have is the esrog has spots on it. In particular, you have bleklach, they call them. What happens is sometimes you have, while the esrog is growing, one esrog touches another one, or a leaf of the esrog tree touches the esrog, and it creates a spot over there. That's not what we're defining over, that's not what we're talking about over here as chazazus. Nevertheless, though, it's not mahuder with that. And in particular, we do try to avoid that on the pitim. But it doesn't actually passel the esrog per se, which is why you have nowadays, for example, the starter esrog, you often have bleklach all over the place, and there's no problem with it, because those are not chazazis, those are not these actual boils over here. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, nitla pitmosa, we said if the pitim of the esrog is missing, then it's possel. Everyone says toner of Yitzchak ben Elazar, toner of Yitzchak ben Elazar, nitla buchnosai. To be exact, of Yitzchak ben Elazar says the expression nitla pitmosai, he uses the expression nitla buchnosai. Its buchna was removed. So now, Rashi explains over here like this. You have the pitma, again, as we said, you have the body of the pitim, and then you have the little flower-like thing on the top of it. So the pitim itself is sort of pointy on the bottom as it goes into the esrog, so it's called a buchna. Rashi explains, so that's one explanation Rashi brings. Then Rashi brings a second, that's from one of his Rebbeim, Rabbeinu Yaakov. Then he brings from another one of his Rebbeim, Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi, who says that when we're talking about the pitim and the uket, we said like this in the Mishnah. We said if the pitim is removed, then the esrog is possible. But we said that if the uket is removed, then the esrog is kosher. So Rashi brings from Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi that says that both of them are actually referring to the stem of the esrog. So therefore, pitmosai, when it's possible, would be that the whole uket is removed, and you actually have a hole where the stem went into the flesh of the esrog, and therefore it would be possible, as opposed to buchnosai would be what actually goes in. You have, when you take out the stem of the esrog, you have a hole left over there, so that would be possible. On the other hand, if you only have the stem above the surface was removed, then it would still be kosher. Rashi says, the fact is you never find the word pitma referring to the stem of a fruit. So therefore, necessarily, Rashi prefers the first explanation that pitma refers to what we think of as the pitim of the esrog, what's on the top of the esrog, again, what's left over from the flower that the esrog grew from. And therefore, that if that's removed, it would be possible. Tosfos goes on to discuss that at some length, and other Rishonim also discuss the ins and outs of it. L'maisa, the halacha is as follows. If the whole pitim is removed, then the esrog is possible. If only the sheshanta is removed, only the flower-like thing at the top, and you still have the woody pitim, then it'll still be kosher, although it's not mahudir. As far as the stem, again, if the stem is removed flush with the esrog, then fine. But if it's removed in such a way that you have a hole over there, then you have a problem. Each of these things actually you have different opinions among Rishonim about. So therefore, you have lachatchila versus b'dieved, if you have nothing better, etc. All of this also, of course, only applies, as we know, only if the pitim fell off after the esrog was picked. If the pitim falls off on the tree, then the esrog is still kosher, and we know many of us have the minhag, the yanaver esrogim in particular, often lack pitims, and in fact some people like myself prefer to use an esrog without a pitim, because then there's less of a chance that you're going to drop it and the pitim is going to break off. Nowadays, actually, they've developed certain kinds of plant hormones that they're able to give the esrog tree while it's growing, that if the esrog has a pitim, it's going to stay on more strongly and not break off that easily, and that way it makes the pitim nowadays, therefore, are not always as fragile as they were in the old days. Okay. Anyway. The Mishnah continued, niklaf, another case where the esrog is possible, is if it was peeled. Now, by peeled, what we mean is, again, like what if the zest of it, so on the face of it, what we mean is, if the zest of it was removed, so now you have, in other words, you remove the outer yellow layer, and now you have the white rind inside of that. However, the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Hai Esroga de Aglid, an esrog that was peeled, Kahina Sumka, and now it resembles a red date, because what happens after you remove any fruit, most fruits, after you peel them, they start turning brown, so here you have the same kind of thing. You remove the zest of the esrog, and now the rind of it starts turning brown. Nevertheless, Rava says, Trailer, it's still kosher. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, Va'anan, it's not Nikla fossil? What do you mean? The Mishnah had said that if it's peeled, it's fossil. The answer is like Hasha, Haba Kula Haba Miktsasa. It depends whether all of it was peeled or only some of it. Rashi learns if all of it was peeled, then it will be kosher, because then at least it looks uniformly, so now it's uniformly brown, so therefore it doesn't look, there's no lack of hodder in it. As opposed to if only some of it was peeled, then you'd have a problem of menumer, then you're back to the problem that we said before, that it looks spotted. It looks like part of it is one color, part of it is still the original yellow, part of it is brown, therefore that would be a reason to passel it. Tosfos springs from Rav Hananel that says the other way around. If the whole thing was peeled, that would be more reason to passel it, because the Gemara is going to go on to say now that there's in certain ways we compare an esrog to the dinim of an animal as far as treifas. Now with an animal, if all of the skin of an animal is removed, then the animal is treif. On the other hand, if parts of the skin are left in certain places, then it's still kosher because the skin will regenerate. So the same thing you could say over here as far as the esrog. If part of it is peeled, then there'd be more reason to say it's kosher because at least it still has part of its peel, part of its skin. Whereas if all of it was removed, then not. So according to the Ben Hananel, that's how it would be. Lachila, you shouldn't be using an esrog that was peeled at all, but the d'eved, then you have these different opinions of whether it's kosher or not. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Nistak Nikav, we said if there's a split in the esrog, meaning along the whole length of the esrog, along one side, let's say you have a split going from top to bottom, or Nikav, or if there's a hole in the esrog, so those are also possible. So let's define what we mean by the hole. Toni Ulaba Chanina. So Ulaba Chanina Torah Braisa. Nikav Nekav Mefulash B'mashu. What it is like this. We have to distinguish between a hole that goes all the way through versus one that does not. If there's a hole that goes all the way through the esrog from one side to the other, then B'mashu, then it's going to be possible even if that hole is only a tiny hole. But if the hole is not, all the way through, let's say for if the hole is not all the way through the ke'iser, then it would be possible only if the hole is the size of an iser, which is a coin. Officially, the definition is that this is a coin that has a circumference of a tefach. Rashi explains now what it is like we said in the Mishnah, Nika v'chosir kol shehu, that if the esrog has a hole and any of its substance is missing, then it's possible. So obviously, therefore, there would be possible even if the hole is a lot less than an iser. So Rashi explains, we're talking about over here like this. The Mishnah had said that Nika v'loy chosir kol shehu, that the Mishnah had said that if the esrog has a hole that does not go all the way through its kosher, where nothing of the esrog is missing, let's say for example you took a needle and stuck it into the esrog, so none of the actual flesh of the esrog is missing, so then the Mishnah had said it's kosher. So now Ulabar Chanina is telling us it's not so simple. If the hole goes all the way through, then it's going to be possible even if the hole is only mashu. And if the hole does not go all the way through, that even if none of the flesh of the esrog is missing, so Rashi gives an example. Let's say he took a very wide peg. Let's say he took a very wide peg and pushed it into the esrog. So now you have, there's a hole there on the side of the esrog. It doesn't go all the way through. None of the substance of the esrog is missing. But still, that hole is the size of an iser or larger. Therefore it's possible. There is furthermore also a machloikas among the Rishonim, whether when we say over here mefulash, does it really have to be all the way through from one side of the esrog to the other, or could mefulash be defined even that it goes all the way from the outside of the esrog into the core of the esrog where the seeds are. Again, remember the esrog has the outer zest, the outer yellow layer, which is thin. Then you have the thick white rind, and then you have inside of that you have the pulp, and some esrogim have very little pulp, and in the pulp you have the seeds. So that area, the area of the pulp is called in halacha chadrei hazera, the chamber of the seeds. So there are rishonim who learn. That when we say over here mefulash means not all the way through from one side of the esrog to the other, but even it's enough for it to be from the outside of the esrog until the chadrei hazera for that to be considered mefulash and posel. So therefore, so according to even if the hole is only mashu. And then again, also with the Einim of Fulosh, you also have the discussion what exactly it means. Does it mean Einim of Fulosh that it doesn't go all the way through, or is it only if it doesn't go all the way, to the Chadrei Hazer? Okay. Boy Rava. Now, Rava has a question. What happens if the esrog developed the kind of simonim that if these kinds of things were to happen with an animal, they would make it trefa? So Mahu, what would be the din? Is the esrog kosher or not? Last night coming by, like, what kind of case exactly is Rava talking about? E niklach tanena, you have an animal can become trafe by having its skin stripped off, but we talked about the case where the skin is off. We distinguish between the whole thing and part of it. Where again, according to Rashi, we said if the whole thing was stripped off, then it's kosher and part of it not, because it's menumer, because it's spotted. And according to Tosfos, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, it was the other way around. So we have a Mishnah that mentions that point about Niklach. E Nistek Tanena, you have another case of an animal that can become treif by there can be a split in its windpipe. Namely, exactly that. You have, let's say, there can be a split along the full length of the windpipe from beginning to end, where then the animal is trafe. On the other hand, if you have a split only part way down, then the animal is still kosher. So we said in our Mishnah, we have the case of the esrog that was split. The same concept would apply. So there's no reason for Rava to be asking what would be the din. We see in the Mishnah what would be the din of it. And inikav tanena, another case where an animal can become treif is by there being a hole in various vital organs. And we know also, we said in the Mishnah, that we just said, that if the esrog has a hole in it, then, and if any of the substance is missing, then it's possible. And if none of the substance is missing, then we said it depends on the size of the hole and how far through it goes. So what is the case that Rava is asking about where we don't otherwise know by analogizing to Hilchos Treifos about what the din would be of a certain esrog? So the Gemara says, "Kikam abayla kidu'ula." Rava's question is related to what Ula asks. Is related to what Ula says. Robert's question is related to what Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yechon. Namely, you have a din, Reya Shenishbacha Kekita in Ksheira. If the lung of an animal, if it's able to be poured out like the contents of a pitcher, so then Ula tells us that it's kosher. But Amar Rava Vuhu De Taimi Simpoi Noha. Now Rava says that's only if the bronchi, only if the branches like this, the lung is made up. The lung tissue is made up of you have the windpipe divides into two major branches that go one goes into each lung. And from there, they branch into smaller and smaller branches. Eventually, they end in air sacs, which is how an animal or a person breathes through that way. So the air sacs form essentially the flesh of the rea. They're kind of spongy. And the Gemara doesn't really deal much with those. I mean, in Chulin, it deals with certain dinim that apply to those. But here we're talking about, let's say that all those sacs, all of the flesh of the rea has gotten infected, has rotted away, and it's now all liquid. It's now all liquefied. So Robert tells us if the simpanaha, if the bronchi, if those major branches that run throughout the lung, if those are still intact, then the animal is kosher, because eventually the air sacs, the flesh of the lung, will eventually be able to regenerate that. Holokani simpanaha terepa, implying, but if the bronchi, or even one of them, in fact, if even one bronchus is liquefied as well, then the animal is terepa. So now the question is, hochamai. So now, can we draw an analogy between that and the esrog? On the one hand, duma hosam hu delay shalit bo avira. On the one hand, with the lung, outside air doesn't get into the lung. Obviously, I mean, the animal breathes with its lungs, but the point is, the air from the outside, by the time it gets to the lungs, has been filtered, kind of. So therefore, you don't have germs that are going to get in there, and cause the situation to become worse. So therefore, as long as the bronchi of the lung are still intact, then eventually the lung is protected there by being inside the body, and therefore eventually the flesh of it will be able to regenerate from being liquefied like that. So you could say, on the other hand, aval hocha, so hodah bari, therefore eventually it can recover, aval hocha the shalit ba'avira, but here the esrog is exposed to the outside air, therefore saruchi masrachas, eventually what's going to happen is that the esrog is, that the, so eventually what's going to happen is the whole esrog is going to rot away. Or maybe there's no difference. So the question would be, in other words, let's say the Chadre Hazera, let's say we can feel, now obviously how are you going to know that the Chadre Hazera are liquefied without opening up the esrog? You can feel from the outside, you can feel that the esrog feels softer than it should, and that tells you that the Chadre Hazera have gotten liquefied. So now the question is, Chadre Hazera, on the other hand, you have the rest of the esrog is exposed to the air, and therefore what may end up happening is that the rest of that, the infection or the whatever it is, the rottenness that's inside the esrog in the Chadre Hazera may eventually spread to the outside of the esrog. Therefore, it's going to be possible, or maybe not. So the Gemara says Toshma. Okay, well, let's try to prove from a Braisa. A Braisa lists a bunch of things that make an esrog possible. Esrog tefuach, an esrog that's swelled up, which preposterous would be from rottenness, or saruach, or that smells bad, also from decay or rottenness, kavush, or an esrog that was pickled in water or vinegar or what have you, shaluk, or that was cooked, kushi, or an esrog that's black, like a cushy person, lavan, or that's white, or manumer, or that's spotted, all of those are possible. Esrog kader, now also an esrog that is shaped like a ball is possible. The yesh omim, afatiyom, yesh omim also a double, a twin esrog. Imagine like you have Siamese twins among humans, so imagine you have a Siamese twin esrog, so the yesh omim are saying that that's also possible. Esrog aboiser, what about an unripe esrog? Boiser really means a very early stage of the growth of the fruit. So Rabbi Akiva posel v'cham machshirin. Rabbi Akiva says it's posel because it has to be ripe in order to be considered an esrog. And the chum say it's fine. Another din, the Braisa says, we're going to be analyzing this whole Braisa soon. We're going to be analyzing this whole Braisa soon in the Gemara, so we'll get to that tomorrow. But anyway, So Gid continues the Braise. So Gidloy Bedfus, if you grew the Esrog inside a form, they have even nowadays, sometimes what you do is you take, for example, Walby fruit is very immature when it's still in the flower stage or in the boisa stage or whatever. You put like a glass bottle over it and it grows inside the glass bottle and it grows in the shape of the bottle. And eventually you break off the bottle and then you have a funny shaped fruit. So if you grew the esrog inside a tefus, ba'asoikim in b'riyacheres, and you made it like a shape of a different kind of creature, then it's also possible. So katoni miyas. Now the bottom line is what's relevant to our part of the sugya over here is we said in the braisa tefuach saruach. We said if the esrog is tefuach, which means swelled up, or saruach or smelly. Now, my lot, tafuach mibachutz, the saruach mibachim. On the face of it, tafuach refers to where it's swelled up on the outside. Saruach would be where it's spoiled on the inside. And there's your answer. If it's spoiled on the inside, it's possible. So in other words, we would say it's not like a lung. A lung, we said, liquefied and spoiled on the inside is kosher as long as the bronchi are intact. Here we would say that if on the inside it's spoiled, then it would be possible. And that would be the answer to Rava. The answer is the Gemara says, like, not necessarily. Both of them might be talking from outside. We could say that the Braise is talking about two things that are on the outside of the Esrog. One is where it swelled up on the outside, but didn't actually, it's not actually rotten. Rashi explains, let's say, for example, that it got rained on, so therefore that caused it to swell up because it absorbed water, as opposed to sarach would be, and sarach would be, the loikasha, the tafach afagab by sarach, so you could have it swelling up without it actually smelling bad. For example, it got rained on, so therefore it swelled up by absorbing water, but it's not spoiled, and then you could have sarach afagab by tafach, and then you can have where it's smelly, where it's rotten, even if it's not actually swelling up. Or Rashi explains another possibility. Tafach could mean where it's rotten. Sarach could be because bugs or worms are eating it, and therefore that causes it to smell bad. So not necessarily is the Braisa at all addressing the case of where it's rotten on the inside. Maybe the Braisa is only talking about cases where it's swelled up or rotten or what have you on the inside. So we leave the question open. So you're not supposed to use such an esrog. There is a machlokas a poskim about some of these things. How many of them? Which ones of them are possible d'oraisa, and which ones only d'rabbanon? If they're d'rabbanon, then maybe we can be makel because suffolk d'rabbanon lakula. And there's also a question: which of them are possible only on the first day versus the other days? One more, Omamai, we said in a Braisa, Esrog Kushi Posel. We said that an Esrog that's Kushi, that's black, is Posel. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Vatanya Kushi Kosher, Domela Kushi Posel. What do you mean? A Braisa says that an Esrog Kushi is Kosher, only if it resembles a Kushi is it Posel. Amarabaya, Kitan Nami, must miss it, Domela Kushi Tan. Sabai says, okay, on Mishnah, and the Braisa that we quoted before with the long list of things, it's talking about Domela Kushi, and that's the kind that is, and that's the kind that's Posel. As opposed to, in other words, the Mishnah, when it says, the Braisa that says Esrog Kushi Posel would mean an Esrog that actually grows in Ethiopia. So an Ethiopian Esrog that grows in Ethiopia would be kosher, but an Esrog that, because it's normal for their Esrogim to be black, says Abaya, as opposed to if it grows someplace else and it's black like a Kushi, then it would be Posel. Rava Amar, like Kasha, Holon, Vaholahu, Rava says that there's a difference between for us and for them. Bnei Eretz Yisrael is far away from Kush, and they're not familiar with such a Esrogim. So therefore, if an Esrog like that is brought to Eretz Yisrael, then it would be possible. Whereas the Braisa that says it's kosher, Vaholahu, the one that's kosher is not only it has to be that it grew in Ethiopia, but also that it's in a country near Ethiopia where they're familiar with such a Sirayim. Namely, that would be Babel, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael. Now, geographically, Eretz Yisrael is closer to Ethiopia than Babel is, but it might be that Kush over here and in the Gemara and some other places in the Gemara might actually refer to an area in India. You have actually a machlokas in the Gemara, for example, by Achashverosh, Mehodu and Kush, where the Hodu and Kush are next to each other or far away from each other. There is a range of mountains between India and Afghanistan called the Hindu Kush. So conceivably, that could be the Kush over here. It could be that there are Esrogim that grow over there that are darker than normal. Okay, in any case, then you have. So that would be the din then. So the halacha actually is a little bit different. If the esrog is a little bit black, and it comes from a place where esrogim normally grow with a little blackness to them, then it's kosher. But if the esrog is really completely black, then it's possible no matter where it comes from.